Serving the universe from the Martian capital of the world, Willow, Alaska. This is Martian, brought to you by First Paw Media. Let's hit the trail.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert from Mushing, and I am here in Ely, Minnesota with Jake Way, and we are talking about his lifestyle and everything that he's got going on. He is our first interview on our first annual Team and Trail Tour. Jake, welcome to the show. Thanks for having us out to your place. Tell us a little bit about who you are and what you're all about, please.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me. This is a cool opportunity. I'm Jake Way. I am a musher in Ely, Minnesota. We have Chili Dog Sled Dog Trips as our kennel. We do tours. We do, short tours, half day tours. And we work with older dogs. This is a kind of a retirement kennel with retired racing dogs that are, getting to the end of their racing career. They want to keep doing something. They come here and hang out with us and do shorter trips and have a blast all the way through life. So that's our mission.
All right. So, I know you're a tour guy, but I know you follow a lot of races as well, like the Bear Grease and Iditarod and all of that. So in the winter, what is your favorite race and why?
I don't want to pick favorites too much here. I go to the Bear Grease. I go to the Klondike Dog Derby. We have the local Ely race, the Wolf Track Classic, it's called. So between the three of those, they're kind of our local races here, and I am, somewhat involved with them all in a way. And I don't know that I can pick a favorite because I know too many people that on those boards and stuff.
So what sets the Bear Grease apart from the local races? How are for folks that may not be familiar with these races? What are something that really makes them unique?
The Bear Grease is the big one in this region. It's known as kind of the longest race in the lower 48. It's a 300. There's a 300 mile. There's a 100 something mile, 130 miles race. Then there's a 40 mile race, and some kids races. It's a rugged terrain that is along the north shore of Lake Superior. A lot of hills. A lot of up and down, and it can be quite brutal. I mean, there's been some cold times in that race. There's been some warm times in that race over the years. Just a few years ago, there was, I think the coldest recorded temperature that year was 57 below during the Bear Grease. So,
and the Wolf Track race?
Wolf Track is a local, it's called the Wolf Track Classic, and it's a 50 mile race, a 50 and a 30, and that's right here in Ely, and that's done in a day. So that's a fun, quick event. It's kind of it's later in the season. It's a lot of mushers do it. A lot of them sign up for it last minute because it's a later in the season race, and they want to see what their team looks like by then, see what they want to do. A lot of teams will run it as a puppy race, run their young dogs in it. And some people run it as a more competitive thing. And it's kind of on the borderline between there's a 30 mile race that's kind of a long sprint, and then this 50 mile is a little bit longer but still a one shot race with no checkpoints,
And then the Klondike race, I remember several years ago I had you on, I think the first year you guys were doing that race, and you talked about that, and that's a heck of a format. I like to think it's sort of like Iron Will in real life down there in the Minneapolis area.
It is in the Minneapolis area. It's on Lake Minnetonka. It's not a long race, though. It's only a 40-mile race, almost 100% on the lake, other than it starts and finishes in the town of Excelsior, through the city streets of, the cute little shops, and it's really pretty. And the first year we had 4 inches of snow that fell the morning of, and so it was, perfect setting of, it was like a postcard or a... Hallmark? Yeah, it was like a Hallmark movie. And so my sister-in-law, Beth, is the one who kind of dreamed that up. And it was her idea to start this race. And And she lived down there at the time and wanted to see a sled dog race on the lake. And she did some research into it, found out that there was racing there not all that long ago, in the 90s maybe. And then she kicked that race off, and it became a huge community event. It's in the metro. It's tons of people. You're surrounded in suburbs. Everywhere you go along that lake is like a mansion shoreline. It's somebody's mansion property. And it's really a unique way to do a dog sled race, because like we kind of brought the race to the people, whereas most of the time you're out on some road crossing in a swamp where there's nobody for miles, and it's hard to like watch it as a spectator, whereas the Klondike is a very much a spectator event. What were they saying? There was 30,000, no, I don't even remember the
Tens of
numbers,
thousands of
tens
people.
of thousands, yeah, I want to say 40 or 50,000
And it'll be back in
last year.
2025, right?
Well, yeah, so this year we had a rough winter, and there wasn't enough ice to do it this year. And that could happen anytime in the history of the race, in the history of the lake. There's definitely years over the history where it wouldn't be able to run it because of ice conditions. So if the ice is good, they'll run it.
And is your sister still involved?
Yep.
Okay.
My sister-in-law.
What time of year is it?
It's in early February, like first week of February.
All right, so we're all about the dogs here, and if you guys have not subscribed to Mushing, definitely go check it out, because we're going to do a full expose on Jake and the Chili Dogs for sure. He has a very unique perspective about sled dogs, but I want you to share a quick story about one of your dogs. It could be any of them. Do you have anything in particular that you want to share?
I do. I have a lot of stories, and I have a lot of dogs over the years that I've, been a part of their lives, and they tell their stories to me, I guess. Since we have this picture here of some of my good old pals, there have a couple of dogs that were 19 when they passed away, and those dogs are just phenomenal. I mean, they're always positive attitude, happy dogs. One dog in particular, T, he's the blonde one here. His name is T, the letter T, his one letter name. We got him when he was like six or something, and he actually did come from kind of a more sprint background. And we got a few dogs from a sprint kennel earlier on, and but he lived here to 19, and when he was 17 years old, I did a run with some of the old dogs, did like a 5 mile run with a team of like six of the oldest dogs or whatever, and I got back and I let the dogs loose, which like I always do, gates are wide open like they always are, and then I'm kind of finding putting dogs away, and I'm like, where's T? And then I'm like looking around, I'm looking in different dogs' houses, like, where did he go? And I find out that he ran off down the road and didn't turn on the trail system. He kept going off the road, went to the highway. I got to there with the snowmobile. I'm like, well, gotta go back and get a vehicle. And so I went back and got, because the pavement was dry, I went back and got my truck and started going down the highway. I'm looking all over. He ended up about an hour later, I found out that he was spotted on a nearby lake on the other side of the highway, and he was spotted by some other mushers that were dog sledding along, and they see him trotting by, and he's just like, doo-doo-doo, having a great day. He's already on mile 10 or whatever of his day at 17 years old. And the girl, I know the girl that saw him, the guide, and she said, that's got to be a sled dog, because the way he's acting, he's seeing a bunch of dogs, sled dogs going by, and then he's just trotting along like, hey guys, no big deal, and doesn't even go over by him like a normal pet would, barking at him and stuff. So then, anyways, I then went back to get the snowmobile again, and I crossed over and got to that lake and was trying to find his tracks. He circled around in circles for a long ways. Like, he did like seven laps in like a quarter mile across area of the lake. And I kept following those tracks because I didn't know where they left. I kept seeing all these intersections of his tracks. And then I finally found where his tracks left. They kept going north and went on some other trail system. And I went in and got to a beaver pond Where I see his tracks going, there was a split in the trail. He went to the right. I followed that trail around a few miles, came back to that trail, and now his tracks are on top of my snowmobile tracks. So I hadn't caught up to him yet, but I knew I was getting close. And then I followed back out to the big lake that we were on, and then he's following along the shoreline. There's some homes along the shore. He's kind of curving up toward their yards. I'm following his tracks, still not seeing him. And then I see a yard where he went up into. I pull up right up next to it. It turned out it was somebody that I know. And she sees me and is like, can I help you? Yeah, what are you doing? You know, I was like, my dog ran through here. She's like, oh, I haven't seen a dog. I was like, well, his tracks go right past your house. She's like, well, whatever, do what you need to do. So I walked up and saw the highway. His tracks disappeared again on the pavement because it's dry. It was a dry pavement. And I wasn't sure which direction he went. And then somebody... a car came by and I stopped the car. I said, hey, I'm looking for a dog. And then he's like, oh, next car back has him. They got him in his car, in their car. And then they pull up and there's T in their back seat hanging out. He had done 21 miles at the age of 17 and he wasn't even, I mean, he's tired, I guess, a little bit. I thought he was going to be like limping the next day or something. He was fine.
Awesome. You know? That's an awesome story. Yeah. The tenacity of the old dogs for sure. Okay, Jake. So who do you think, putting you on the spot here a little bit, who do you think the most influential dog driver in the sport is or was?
Susan Butcher.
Why?
Probably because I think she probably gained the most attention and, you know, had a lot of publicity because of her in it being a woman in at that time a more, you know, man's sport and showing that, you know, this is Alaska,
this is the real deal
where men and women win the Iditarod. I don't know, that just seems like it was a big pivotal change, but there's been so many you know inspirational stories and amazing people that have been
influenced. All right. So the next to the last question here is, and I probably asked this when you were on our podcast several years ago. I'd be interested to hear what you said back then. And we're going to link to that as well. And I wonder if it was 5 years ago when we had you on. But where do you see the sport of dog mushing in the next 5 years and then in 10?
Well, I mean, it's changed over the years a bit, but in this region, it seems to be growing in popularity, I mean, the racing circuit is doing well here, so things seem to be on the up, you know, going up.
Same for 10 or different? Do you think climate is, obviously climate's a big deal, especially last year for you guys here in the lower 48. Do you see that as a big change? I know you had to change your business around a bit last year, or yeah. Do you just think it was just an off year?
I don't know. I mean, I've been doing this for 24 years and the winters have always been good and solid. And when we get snow and it stays and stays plenty cold and we get plenty of 40s and sometimes 50s below. And, last year we just didn't get much snow. We got some cold, not the deep cold as much, but they said that it hadn't been that way for 150 years, since the 1870s, when there was a winter that was, you know, anywhere close to that. So we've always had good snow, and I'm hoping this was a fluke. We'll see what happens. But sled dogs, again, like they could care less. They're called sled dogs, but they prove to us every day that they're much more than that. They don't care what they're pulling. It doesn't need to be a sled. They'll just run. They love to run. And
by the story you just told with T, I mean, yeah. he'll run 20 miles without anything.
Right.
So the next one, Jake, is what do you want to be a big takeaway of this podcast? If you could give that elevator pitch, that one piece of advice, that's something that they can come back to that said, oh, yeah, that guy Jake said this.
Said a lot of things. I talk a lot. I think that sled dogs have a lot to teach us, and if we open our minds to it, you can you learn a lot. Some of the people that have been in the lifestyle, in the mushing way of life for a longer period of time, are usually the ones to tell you that they don't know very much at all, because there's never-ending amounts of things to learn. And I think the sled dogs are always teaching us more and more all the time at a level that we can absorb, and so they never run out of things to teach us. So just keep an open mind and work with the dogs that you have in front of you. If you're working with sled dogs, I mean, they'll teach you what you need to know when you need to know it, and don't get cocky.
So, where can people find you? Where are you most active?
Well, this is my house. I'm active. This is my kitchen table. I'm active pretty much here. No, don't come here. No, we have, sorry. We are Chili Dog Sled Dog Trips. We have stuff online. I don't know. We have website. We have, I do stuff on social media. I do a lot on Facebook. Me personally, I tell a lot of stories. I do a lot of trips and.
Most active on Facebook.
Most active on Facebook.
All right, we'll put up some links for sure. Okay, we are here with Jake and Jess Way. I always say that with too much of a W, but thank you for joining us here today. Have us in your home. We look forward to continuing our friendship and our conversations as we go. Thanks again, guys.
Thank you.
All right, on behalf of my guest today, this is Robert for Mushing. We will see you guys next time. Goodbye.
Are you a fan of the great outdoors? Do you enjoy the thrill of speed and adventure? Then listen up. Introducing Mushing, your ultimate guide to the exciting world of dog-powered sports and mushing. Whether you're a seasoned musher or just starting out, Mushing has got you covered. Get ready to immerse yourself in captivating stories of incredible sled dog races, expert training tips from seasoned professionals, and gear reviews to help you make the right choices for your team. From the breathtaking landscapes of Alaska to the snowy trails of Scandinavia, Mushing takes you on a thrilling journey through the world of dog-powered sports. Don't miss out on the latest issue, packed with exclusive interviews with top mushers, in-depth articles on sled dog nutrition, and stunning photography that will transport you to the heart of the action. So whether you're dreaming of competing in the Iditarod or simply want to learn more about this incredible sport, Mushing is your go-to resource. Subscribe now and get ready to unleash your passion for mushing. Visit our website at mushing.com or find us on your favorite podcast platform. Mushing, where the spirit of adventure meets the power of the pack.